Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we are looking at the role of the Pope in Roman Catholic theology. And we've been focusing on Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus said in verse 18, "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." And in Roman Catholic theology, they use this passage to support the idea that Peter was the first pope, was passed on authority, and that Jesus built the church upon the Apostle Peter, that he is actually the visible head on earth, that Peter was actually the first bishop of Rome and was possessed with authority and infallibility and leadership over the entire church. We want to examine that today, and I want to offer you 15 scriptural responses to refute this idea. And probably the best place to start off is to look at Peter's own words as to who is the head of the church, who is the rock. And we find that Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, the following words: "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture: Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame." Then he goes on to say in verse 7, "Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." And so from Peter's own words, he does not claim to be the stone that the church is built upon, but Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone on which the rest of the church is built upon. Now we come as living stones or added on to the rock who is Jesus Christ. And we will find this truth found in several places of Scripture that Jesus Christ himself is the rock. He's the foundation of the church and not man. The second key passage in light of this topic is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, which speaks of the church, says, "Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." So here we have the church is built upon the foundation which the apostles and prophets laid in the first century through their preaching and evangelism and through the revelation of doctrine that God gave to them. But the chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. In our program yesterday, when we examined Matthew chapter 16, I suggested to you that throughout the history of the church, there's been five different interpretations on what this rock is. And these five are as follows. One, Peter is the rock that is mentioned. Number two, the 12 apostles whom Peter was a representative. Third, the faith of Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Fourth, that the rock that Peter confessed was Christ himself. Or number five, those who make the same confession become part of the church. Now, it is interesting that as we look at 1 Peter chapter 2, it seems to be that the fourth view that I mentioned, that the rock that is mentioned is Christ himself. But then when we come to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, it seems to point that the apostles seem to have a role in the laying of the foundation of the church. And that's why I say when you come to Matthew chapter 16, there's been various interpretations offered, and I think there's validity to many of them. But we need to look at a principle that says, let Scripture interpret Scripture. And what we can conclude absolutely, that the rest of Scripture does not say that Peter was the one in which the church was founded upon. We see that Jesus Christ is the rock. He's the chief cornerstone. The cornerstone would have been the most important stone on the foundation where all the angles and measurements would have been taken from. And then the rest of the foundation, which was laid by the apostles and the prophets, which was from their preaching and their doctrine. So we see clearly that the church is built on obviously more than Peter. Also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, Paul says that Christ was the rock, which reads this way, "And all drank of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Then also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 11, we read, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So it's clear that throughout the rest of the Scripture, Christ is the rock, Christ is the foundation of the church. Because he's the one that we receive salvation from. He's the one that accomplished salvation through his death, burial, and resurrection. And there's no other foundation which men could lay apart from Jesus Christ. He is the foundation of all of Christianity. I'd like to continue to offer proof to you that Peter was not the one that had authority passed on to him apart from the rest of the apostles. Because Matthew 16, verse 19 says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." This is a text that the Roman Catholic Church uses to support the idea that when the Pope speaks, ex cathedra, when he says on the subject of faith and morals, is binding upon the church. Well, if one would turn over to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18, we see that this same authority is given to all the apostles and really to the entire church in dealing with a sinning brother. And verse 18, which concludes this process of discipline, says this: "Assuredly, I say to you that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And that is not a context of bringing forth infallible doctrine on faith and morals. It has to do with a sinning brother and how to deal with them, and authority that's being passed on to the church from Jesus Christ. So we could see that Matthew 18:18 refutes the idea that the Pope is infallible, because the same authority of binding and loosing has been given to the church. Then also it mentions keys that are given. And we could see that Peter was one that God used to open the door of salvation when he preached on the day of Pentecost. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter is the one that gives the sermon which brings salvation, the opening of the door, the using of those keys to bring people into that saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Acts chapter 2, verse 14 simply reads, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words.'" And then he preached, and then the multitude came to salvation. Also, in Acts chapter 10 and 11, where Peter preached to the Gentiles at the house of Cornelius, the door of salvation was opened to them. And so he used those keys once again that was given to the life of the church. So in Matthew chapter 16, Peter was given some keys which he used in the preaching of the gospel to open up salvation to a number of people. But we as believers, as well as the rest of the apostles, had the same authority in the preaching of the gospel to use those keys of the truth of the word of God to bring people into a saving relationship with the Lord. The sixth line of evidence I'd like to give to you, so you can refer to Galatians chapter 2, verses 7 through 8, where Paul says he was an apostle to the Gentiles and Peter was an apostle to the Jews. So Paul was not the Pope over the Gentiles. It's simply that was the ministry that was given to them. It sure seems to indicate here that there's equal authority, one in reference to the Jews, one in reference to the Gentiles. Some other references I'd just like to make mention of and direct you to, rather than just reading all of them, which support the idea that Peter was not the founder of the church and that he is not the one that had final authority on things. If you would look at Acts chapter 15, verse 13 and 19, we see that James at the Jerusalem council, and Peter was present there as well as the rest of the apostles, is the one that took up the leadership on that issue of deciding, what are we going to do with the Gentiles now that the Gentiles have received the Lord? And the church gathered together because some were teaching they need to keep the law of Moses, they need to be circumcised. But James at that church council is the one that took the leadership, not the Pope. Then also coming from Peter's own words in 1 Peter chapter 5, he does not refer to himself as a pope, he refers to himself as a fellow elder. 1 Peter 5 verse 1 reads, "Then the elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed." So he didn't say I'm over the elders, but I am a fellow elder. Also in that same chapter in verse 3, he says, "Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Not lording over the flock, which is a position that the Roman Catholic Church has given to the Pope. The ninth line of reasoning that I'd like to supply you with is Acts chapter 8, verse 14, where it says the leaders of the church sent Peter out to Samaria. And it wasn't vice versa. The other apostles did not treat him as the final authority as the Pope, but they sent him out. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, to attach yourself to an individual was a sign of carnality and division, where Paul says, "Now this I say to each of you who says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas," which is another term for Peter, "or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or you baptized in the name of Paul?" And so he says this is simply bringing about division when you would attach yourself to an individual. Number 11, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, Peter is rebuked for hypocrisy by the Apostle Paul, which reads as follows, "But when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy." So Peter was not the final authority. He was rebuked by Paul himself for being a hypocrite. He would eat with the Gentiles when there were no Jews around, but when the Jews came around, he would separate himself from those Gentiles, not wanting to be despised by the other Jews. Number 12, when Paul wrote the book of Romans, He did not address Peter as the first pope. He's not even mentioned there. That silence is of great proof that Peter was not the leader of the Church of Rome, the first bishop of Rome, or the leader of the entire church. Number 13, also looking at Romans chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, as well as chapter 16, verse 17, Paul claims a degree of authority over the church at Rome, of being an apostle to them. Number 14, the first words of the Pope, which we looked at in a previous study, was to rebuke Jesus, telling him not to go to the cross, where Jesus, in Matthew 16, had to say, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me," and he spoke those words to Peter. Then Peter went on to deny the Lord three times. The 15th and final line of proof is Matthew chapter 23, verses 9 through 11, which reads, "Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father who is in heaven. And do not be called teacher, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant." So first of all, we're not to refer to another man as father, because that's taking the place of God. Then also, if you want to be great, you're to be the servant of all, just as modeled in the life of Christ. And that is not what we see in the life of the Pope, who parades himself around and has throughout church history of people bowing down to him, kissing his feet, kissing his ring. That's not a sign of humility. That's not a sign of being a servant. That's a sign of exalting a man. This is completely contrary to the obvious teachings of Scripture, as well as the true character and nature of Christ, where he said, "I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." I hope that these 15 lines of proof prove once and for all that Peter was not the first pope and was given authority over the entire church. That belongs to Christ alone.